We are finally back with Behind the Shadows podcast.
You know, I was thinking, yes, hi, we're back, hello. I was thinking about, since we're kind of doing the thing, which we're announcing in a moment, a name change might be in order.
Oh, rebranding.
A rebranding. I mentioned that when we were doing each other's hair a couple weeks ago.
I didn't think we would change the name, though.
But Behind the Shadows implies the spook, the spookiness, the...
Yes, but you know how many serial killers hide in the shadows?
So
David
many.
Carpenter.
So many.
A couple episodes ago.
God, you see a couple episodes ago. Like I'm going to remember. I have to...
Oh, I went back and re-listened to them.
Did you?
I did.
I started to, but I've been looking for another job, so.
Yeah.
Don't burp.
Trying not to. It'll happen.
Sorry. I didn't mean to call attention to it.
Oh, that's fine. I just wanted you to fill the silence while I try to...
Hey, fill the silence while I discreetly burp. Just hey, don't burp.
Keep going. But, yeah, so super excited to get back into it.
Me too.
I mean, we'll still do spooky stuff. Still send in your spooky stuff.
Yes. And I think we could do like an occasional like spooky thing.
Yeah.
But like I think because of our main focus shift, which will be toward true crime,
mm-hmm.
I feel like we could come up with a better name. I feel like we're not living up to our full potential with Behind the Shadows.
Okay. Well, you come up with that.
It's all on me.
I mean, I
I'll pitch you some ideas in the next little
we'll spitball.
Bit.
Just, I don't know. I'm definitely wanting to get back into it, and there's more true crime than spooky, I guess, but...
And it's hard to find something spooky that, like, most people don't, like,
it's true.
About.
I mean, it's a, what would you call it? A hybrid podcast.
Okay.
We'll just do that, I mean...
In terms I understand, is it?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, how you been in this, what, eight-month hiatus?
Pandemic crazy. I worked as a janitor full time for a little bit, as you know.
Yeah.
And then I got moved over to just sitting and taking temperatures for a call center, and then they installed one of those temperature taking machines on the wall, and I lost my job. And I could use a potato cart right now, really. It sucks.
Yeah.
We do, however, have $3 in our Anchor FM account. So
we
dibs.
Do. I tried to check that. The
so
other
dibs.
Day too. Yeah.
I need to buy some ramen.
Super exciting. Hoping to keep this going, and we're gonna do our best to have this on a weekly basis. I know that we've said that before, and we've let you guys down, especially in the other countries like Ireland and Germany. I'm so sorry.
We have international following, and we've let you guys down, and
the
we do want to say we're very, very sorry about that. But do you get, like, notifications that our page gets views every now and again?
Yeah. Well, no.
I get them, like, every few days.
I mean, I saw a couple things about Behind the Shadows, but it wasn't much. I just posted in it. A little bit ago.
Oh, I haven't been on Facebook in hours.
I tag you in it, so.
I've been playing a game on my phone called Among Us. I literally sometimes will hear, like, the little pop chat sound or, like, the sound of someone jumping into a lobby, and it's kind of a problem. But it is really fun to play. Half the time, though, I get a really good group of people, and, like, we vibe really well, and, like, teamwork is the dream work, and, you know, we get the imposters so fast because they're just, like, not as smart as us. And then I find out that they're all, like, 14. And I'm like, you guys are cool. I dig the vibe. Add me on Snap. And then they're like, yeah, sure, how old are you? And I'm like, wait, how old are you? And they're like, 14, 13, 19. And I'm like, oh, shit.
That's illegal. I can't do that.
It's not illegal to add them on Snapchat, but it is... I'm not going to touch that one. Hey, man, great playing with you. Y'all give me hope for the new generation. No, because, I mean, I know it's just a game, but...
Sure. I don't know. I can't get into it. I've been playing Spider Solitaire nonstop.
All right, Grandma.
Yeah. Yeah, especially that the other day I said the COVID again.
The COVID?
The COVID. I'm ashamed. My bedtime's 9 o'clock, so I mean, I don't know what you expect.
I stopped calling it Rona, at least.
Yeah. Coronavirus?
The coronavirus?
Ooh.
No. No ooh-oohs allowed on this podcast.
That was funny, though.
This is a ooh-free zone.
But, yeah. So, I guess, shall we get started?
Sure. Yeah, sure.
Okay.
I got my
Yeah, we'll start fresh. We'll have you go first.
Yep. I don't remember who went first last time.
Honestly, I think you did, but we're just going to start fresh.
Sounds good. So, I have been curious about this for a while, and it actually happened. It's relatively recent. Like, when I first started thinking, oh, you know, I want to have a really good true crime story for our first episode back, I'm stoked. I was looking at, like, the older ones, like, Villisca Axe Murder House. Like, I know we did that, the spooky style, but, like, I wanted to go more into, like, the murder investigation because I didn't really cover that when I talked about it. But this time I'm doing the Slender Man murder attempt, which happened in 2014.
It was that recent?
Yeah, 2014. Wasn't that, when did you graduate high school?
11.
Okay, so it was shortly after you graduated high school.
I thought it was, like, before 2010, honestly.
No, because actually, you'll learn why. The Slender Man only came out in 2009.
Oh, shit.
Which is the year I graduated. The definition, I guess, technically, I kind of went a little long-winded with this because I think Slender Man is a really cool work of fiction.
I played the game on the computer.
So did I. I illegally downloaded it on Dad's desktop, like, years ago, and we played it in Dad's office. So, a fictional entity, he was created on the Something Awful forums in 2009 as part of a paranormal image contest, like a creation contest.
Cool.
Yeah. And then people were like, oh, that's sick. I'm going to write some fan fiction about it. And it slowly became a lore. And you know what makes me think of? That episode of Supernatural, RIP, by the way. I don't know if you know how it ends.
I've heard spoilers. It just got on Netflix today.
I don't know much. I stopped watching, like I think season 7 or 8. But I know exactly what happens. I watched it all on TikTok.
Yeah.
I'll say is RIP. That's it. But it reminds me of that episode of Supernatural where the Blue Oyster Cult symbols were painted on the wall of this house, and this legend never actually happened. Yes. But so many people believed in it that it became real. Yes. So that's why I low-key believe in Slender Man. But, like, not in a hella serious manner. But, like, I'm not going to say he does not exist.
But he does not exist.
I'm not. That's like saying aliens don't exist. You don't know. Nobody knows. But you are far more cynical than I. That is not the point of this podcast. We should start a second podcast where we argue about shit.
You know, we tried to go into that whole alien thing. Do you remember that? That one episode towards the end, we went into aliens and reincarnation and shit.
Yeah. We never touched back on that.
We didn't because it was a touchy subject. We were getting heated.
And we had been drinking.
That's true.
That was when you introduced me to this exact beer that I'm drinking right now.
Yes.
Thanks, sis. Now I'm addicted to coffee beer. So, right. The episode of Supernatural, yes. Belief until it's real. This is kind of terrifying, and because that's basically what these girls did. They made something horrible happen, but in an indirect way, blame it on Slender Man.
Yeah, I've heard of this. I don't know the details. I never really went into it. Same,
because as far as I knew, if somebody was like, hey, explain to me the Slender Man murder attempt, I'd be like, two girls stabbed their friend for Slender Man.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's it. That's all I knew. All of this was brand new information to me when I did my research. So, as I was saying, he was created as that art contest. He's depicted as a tall, thin character with a very, like, a stark white face, absolutely no features, and long white fingers and a black suit.
Salad fingers. Do you remember salad fingers?
I think about salad fingers all the time. In fact, I think just earlier today, I said to Jordan, I said, Hubert Cumberdale, fancy seeing you here. Hubert Cumberdale, you taste like soot.
Rusty spoon.
I'm quoting like part three. Like there were like, I think five or six parts to
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I didn't watch a lot of them. They were a little creepy.
The feeling of rusty spoons against my salad fingers is almost orgasmic. Yeah, I don't even know how many times I watched that. Jordan was not part of the YouTube culture. Jordan, my husband.
He's young.
True. So he was like 10 when YouTube was invented. And the only time he watches YouTube is, yeah, 2005, bro. You know why YouTube was invented? I am off the rails.
No, that's fine. Why? I don't know.
Because the Janet Jackson wardrobe malfunction of 2005, I think it was, where Justin Timberlake and Janet Jackson were singing a song, and the line is like, I'm going to have you naked by the end of this song, and he rips off her titty.
And that was an accident, right?
No. It wasn't. She had a pasty on. So, like, why would you have a pasty on if you didn't know your tit was going to fly out?
So
I feel like it was a publicity stunt.
I don't think so, because you wear pasties, so you don't show your nipples through.
They were purple and star-shaped.
Okay, touche. I didn't watch it, so I don't know.
It was the reason YouTube was invented. So, good Lord. I was just going on about how Jordan doesn't know anything about YouTube.
Yeah.
And so every time I think of a YouTube video, I'm like, oh, hey, babe, have you seen this one?
Charlie the Unicorn?
Well, yeah. But you know what he does? Because he's just so out of it. He'll go, Charlie, you bit me. Let's go to Candy Mountain. And I'm like, that's two different videos.
Two different videos.
So, yeah, he's a little out of touch. He cares about very few things. You know, back to Slender Man.
Yeah, back to Slender Man.
He's got that black suit, and he sometimes is occasionally will be shown with large black tentacles coming out of the back of him.
I've seen those, yeah.
Which were my least favorite part of the game. So there are these two girls, Morgan Geyser and Anissa Weyer. I'm going to refer to them by their last names from this point on.
Okay.
So they're both 12 years old, and they were convinced that Slender Man was real.
Oh, wait. Where'd you get your source?
Wikipedia.
Okay. Wikipedia's
and
good.
Also one news article. It was a local news in... Oh, I'm sorry. I will make sure to credit them in the description when I post this.
Okay.
My mistake. This was written very quickly, an hour ago. So Geyser and Wire, both 12, were convinced that Slender Man was real, that he had, that they had these, like, this idea in their head that if they were to kill in the name of Slender Man, that they could go live in a mansion that they assumed that he had in the middle of the woods. I love your eye twitch right now. he had a mansion in the woods, and if they killed for him, he would, like, forego hurting their family. So it was to protect their family in their heads.
Okay.
So that was the impression they were under.
Okay.
So they wanted to be his proxies, which is just, you know, kill in the name of. Anissa, she was, like, the mind behind the plans, the attack. So they wanted to attack and kill and leave their best friend, Peyton Lutner, who they called Bella, who I'm going to refer to as Bella throughout the story. And she managed to convince... Well, Anissa was the one who, like, blossomed this idea. And then she handed the idea to Morgan Geyser. Sorry, I don't know why I wrote their first names here. That if she helped kill Bella, they could live in his mansion and therefore protect their own family from him.
Okay.
They were... Sure as shit would have done anything for it, obviously. So Wire and Geyser initially planned to kill Bella in the woods on the night of May 30th, 2014. But they became too groggy, and that's a direct quote. They were too groggy and too tired. So same. They decided, and I quote, to give her another morning. Yeah, that holy made shit. My stomach turn. That made my stomach actually turn.
And coming from a 12-year-old, that's almost Aiden's age.
Yeah.
And that would be terrifying to hear come out of his mouth.
Yep. Yeah, so they had hoped to commit this crime that night on the night of May 30th, but instead they invited Bella to a sleepover and had a great time, and then the next morning went to the park where they initially had hoped to commit the crime in the park bathroom because there were drains in the floor and it would have been really beneficial to just, you know, drain the blood really easy, convenient. And now, okay, I don't want to praise this at all. This is not a good thing that happened, but that's smart for 12. That's smart.
Yeah. I was just kind of thinking that. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
So we need to put criminal minds on like a higher shelf, like 14 and up, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. That's still a little young, but.
Fair. Yeah. See, so for some reason, the plan didn't work out in the bathroom. I guess they couldn't get all three of them in there at the same time. So instead, the next morning, they went to the park, started playing hide and seek, then pinned her down, proceeded to stab her.
Wait, after they found her?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they found her. They pinned her down. They stabbed her 19 times in her arms, legs, and torso with a 5-inch kitchen blade.
Why were they stabbing the arms and the legs?
I don't know. I think they wanted her to bleed as much as possible. That's where my brain went.
Okay.
So the two of the stab wounds were to major organs and another missed her heart by less than a millimeter. Her stomach and her diaphragm were also cut. So in addition to her arms and legs bleeding like crazy, her gut is cut, and that's, and they leave her. They're like, we're going to, which one says it? Wire told her to lay down so that she wouldn't bleed as much, to lay flat. We're going to go get you help. And then they just left her and didn't come back. So Bella dragged herself to a local road. Good. And a cyclist found her and called 911.
Good.
Yep. So
that's really good, because that she, even though her friends who stabbed her said they were going to go get help, she still went and got her own help.
She probably in her brain was like, "Not these bitches just stabbed me. Why would they get me help? That's just going to get them in trouble."
Exactly. When I was in elementary school, I had these two girls at recess tell me to stand in a circle and wait for them to come back.
And they never came back.
So until the bell rang, I stood in this fucking circle
for those the whole recess. Those little bitches. Do you remember their names?
I do. I'm friends with them on Facebook. Yeah, I am.
I wonder if they're going to listen to this and
I doubt it.
No. I'm defensive right now. Like, I hate these girls.
I'm not going to call them out. I know exactly who they are, but I'm not going to call them out.
That is so funny.
Yeah. Yeah. That actually got brought up the other night, too. So, it's interesting.
They just said, "We'll be back." And then you're like, "Okay, guys."
Yeah, I wanted friends.
At least they didn't stab you 19 times first. You know,
take the good with the bad. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Why is Charlie looking at me like that? So, yeah, she was found. She actually spent 7 days in the hospital and went back to school that next September. Totally survived.
Good.
Now, the Goyles, Geyser, and Wire were apprehended, I think, just really close by at a local furniture store.
How many days after?
I think that day.
Oh, good.
Yeah, when they found her. Okay. And they had the knife in their bag.
Idiots.
So while Geyser felt like no empathy, she was like, "Yeah, okay, this is probably going to get me." This is a direct quote. "Yeah, this is probably going to get me arrested. Yeah, we stabbed her." Unquote.
And I bet they were charged as minors and they were out by 21.
How much you want to bet?
Not much anymore.
$5?
No, I don't have $5. I mean, I have $5, but none I want to give you. Go on.
Sorry. I was listening to my own heart chatter. It's fine. So, Geyser felt no empathy, but Wire felt, like, really bad and was like, you know, but we had to do it to protect ourselves from Slenderman. Like, she was convinced. And I don't mean, like a kid would be. If I'm not mistaken. Hang on. So Anissa was later diagnosed with schizophrenia that her dad also has.
Okay.
So this is years later, 3 years later, 2017. They were sentenced. Morgan Geyser pled guilty to attempted second degree homicide, but was found not guilty by reason of mental disease or defect. So just wait. Anissa accepted a plea that she could skip the trial if she submitted psychological testing and then later pled guilty, but then was also found not guilty for the same reason. Additionally, diagnosed schizophrenia, which her father also suffers. Wire received 25 years to life with an undetermined amount of those years to be committed to an institution involuntarily. And Geyser got 40 to life. Same deal with the psych ward.
Holy shit.
So I don't know if either of them are still in psych wards, but they are put away for life.
Well,
either way.
25, 40 to life. What? That's with possibility of parole, though.
No.
Okay.
No, if you... They are not fit to be on the streets.
Why would they say 25 to life or 40 to life?
It's just, I don't know, maybe.
Because usually they say that when after 40 years or after 25 years they're eligible for parole. Otherwise they would just say life
in
prison.
Maybe in this circumstance it's something like 25 years.
25 years in the mental institution. And
then
life?
The rest in prison?
Doubt it. I don't know.
I don't know. I didn't look into the judicial proceedings.
That's fine. I've just been listening to
probably should have.
A lot of true crime lately. So.
See, you got to be really familiar with litigation and stuff like that.
Though. Oh, I know.
And I'm not.
I'm not either.
So, yeah, that's it. That is the story of the Slender Man attempted murder.
It's super interesting.
It was. I really thought that these girls were just dicking around and tried to kill their friend because they were sick, like oddly curious and like said it was for Slender Man for press, but they were literally crazy. And that sucks. I mean, maybe they're getting help.
Damn.
Do you remember that? I don't know if you do. They mentioned her on Maury, I think, like back in the day. She was a little girl in the 80s, I think, and she was a literal psychopath. Like, she would pinch her baby brother as hard as she could. She would threaten to kill her family. They like televised an interview with her where she's just like, I don't feel anything. I don't care. I don't, like, I want to hurt people. I want to kill my mom. I want to kill my dad.
Vaguely. But there's... two children like that, like Mary Bell in England. She was 9
at the moment, or was 9?
She was 9.
When?
A long time ago.
See, children are scary.
Oh, I know.
In
like
scary
this
movies,
girl?
It doesn't. Nothing really makes me go, oh God, no! I go into unless it's like a child in the hallway at night. So when I have kids and they need a glass of water, hell no. My kid will probably get kicked at least 3 times before they're 10. At least.
Yeah, like Mary Bell, she got arrested for murdering a little boy. And she, in the jailhouse, there was this cat. And she grabbed the cat, and the CO or whatever was all like, don't hurt that cat. And she goes, don't worry. She likes it when I do this. She snaps its neck. And then, so the little boy she killed, She goes to the mom's house and was all like, can little Johnny play? I don't remember the name. And she goes, no, he's dead. And she goes, I know. I want to see the body. Dude, fucking creepy. She's out of jail now. She's a fucking grandma. Yeah, pretty sick.
Has anybody else in her life died under mysterious circumstances?
I don't know.
I was referring to, I don't even know her name. I find it really interesting because she's actually a nurse now. She was diagnosed with an imbalance in her brain, and she went through therapy, years and years of therapy with a specific nurse, and she's recovered. And now she helps people, and she's a behavioral nurse, and she helps kids who also have the same diagnosis get through it. And I think that's really cool. Yeah. However, the nurse that helped her was doing another thing where she was helping another family or whatnot, whatever, and a baby died, and she spent 9 years in prison.
Jesus.
So, like, boom, boom, goes the dynamite.
Twist and turns everywhere.
Yes.
Okay.
All right,
I guess it's my turn, eh?
It sure is. Hold on, I gotta crack open another one. I intentionally did that by the mic.
Okay, so mine... mine is the murder of Gwen Araujo. Mm-hmm.
Bitch, I'm gonna cry.
Yep.
Glory be to Gwen. I remember the Lifetime movie.
So do I. Bella's mom showed us this movie because she has the same last name.
Yeah, and it was on a VHS tape, and you brought it to the house.
I remember it was on.
That's why VHS I've seen it.
Tape. It was underneath. It was in one of the clusterfucks underneath the movie shelves.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Wow.
Right? It popped in my mind the other day, and I'm like, I want to do this for the podcast.
I haven't seen that since I was like 11.
I haven't. No. Because
we not moved, 11 then.
Yeah, we moved here when I was 11.
I saw it before that then.
I saw it when I was maybe 12. I'd say maybe 13 or 14. I don't remember. Bella, help us out. I mean, she's the one that showed me too. Anyway, okay, so this is. Pretty long. I have 13 pages front and back.
Well, you talk like a squirrel, so we should be fine.
Sure. Okay.
Did you do that on purpose?
What? Sure. What, talk fast?
You did it really fast.
Oh, no, I didn't.
You're doing it again.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to. Okay.
All right.
So the murder of Gwen Araujo. Gwen Araujo was born Edward, or Eddie Araujo Jr., on February 24th, 1985, in Brawley, California, which is northern.
Not far from where we're from.
Yeah, it's Bay Area. She came out as transgender in 1999 at the age of 14 and went by the name Gwen after her favorite singer.
Gwen Stefani.
Gwen Stefani.
That's so cute. Right? I didn't know that.
Yeah, so she started growing her hair out and planned to do hormone treatment and surgery.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really upset that there's not a lot about her personally. Like, almost everything I find is just about the murder. I was really upset because...
How old was she?
When she was killed? Let me do the math. 85 to 2002. That's 10, 7,
16?
No, she wasn't that young.
Oh my god.
Fuck. 85 to 95, that's 10 to 2000. Shit.
I think 16 is right. Hold on a minute.
I don't.
85, 90, 91, 92, 93, 94, 95, 96, 97, 98, 99, 2000, 2001, 2002.
18. Okay.
Wow. Hey,
Jesus.
You guys want to hear how stupid we are?
We gotta cut that shit out.
No, we're keeping it in.
Oh my god.
Plus that snort too. Sorry, everybody.
I don't do math. It's just not my strong suit.
Yep, that's what my husband does. I'm like, baby, what is this plus this?
Yeah.
He has it immediately. Every time.
Yeah. Okay. So Gwen first met Michael Magnuson, Jose Merrell, Jaron Nabors, and Jason Cazares. Now, this are I got this stuff off of Wikipedia, all Wikipedia.
Okay.
And it goes back and forth with last names and first names. So try to keep up. I couldn't. Okay. So first, 1 second. Okay.
You got a text and then I got a text.
Yeah, I got a text.
We had to handle business.
Yeah, sorry, guys.
My husband got a new Facebook and his childhood nickname was George. His name is Jordan, named after Jordan Knight from New Kids on the Block, which is my favorite fun fact.
That's adorable.
And his middle name is Christian after Christian Slater, which his mom was such a 90s woman. Oh my God, I love that lady so much. Anyway, his family called him George when he was really little.
Why?
Because of that Looney Tune episode where he's like, I will love him and squeeze him and something, and I will call him George.
Okay.
And I guess Jordan said that all the time, or like Jordan loved it or something about it. So they started calling him George.
Okay.
Or they said that to him when he was a baby. So they call him George.
Okay, sure.
So now I have to text his friends and say, hey, when someone named George sends you a message, it's actually Jordan.
Hmm.
Because not everybody knows that he's George, I guess.
Okay. Cool. All right.
You say, okay.
Anyways. Okay. So, Gwen first met Michael Magnuson, Jose Morel, Jaron Nabors, and Jason Cazares in late August, early September 2002. The night they met, she flirted and smoked weed together, and after she left, Nabors asked the other three, could this be a dude? But none of the other three took it really seriously. Kind of just laughed it off. She was freaking gorgeous, by the way.
Oh, I know.
Like,
I'm remembering one specific picture of her.
Yeah.
With this big smile.
Oh, not that one.
That's
not the one I know. Okay, so, hey, what are you doing?
I'm just looking up a picture. I'm listening.
Okay. Later, she engaged in oral sex with Magnuson and anal with Morel. She claimed to be menstruating, and during sex, she would push her hands away from her area so they wouldn't find out that she had a penis. You know, she had to hide this because, shit, early 2000s. I mean, this is still taboo to this day, unfortunately.
Which I don't understand.
So there was this girl named Nicole Brown. It wasn't OJ. And she was dating Paul Morel, who is Jose's older brother. Are you done looking up the phone?
I'm listening.
Okay.
Well. Jose's older brother.
Yeah. So Paul was acquainted with Gwen. Nicole and Gwen actually got an altercation when Nicole challenged Gwen to strip for the men. So Gwen got pissed and punched her in the face.
Mm-hmm.
And that actually surprised Nicole. Was all like, she punched like a dude. That was a strong punch. So that's when the
accusations?
Yes. The questions started to arise. Go on.
It's just like, why is it any of your goddamn business?
I know.
It's like, hey, what's in your pants? I need to know what's in there.
I know. I need to make sure I'm not gay. Like,
I'm attracted to you? Wait a minute. You got a pee-pee?
Yeah. So, jumping to October. October 3rd, 2002, there was a house party at the place rented by Jose and Paul Morel. All who were there were those two, younger brother Emmanuel Morel, Magnuson, Nabors, Cazares, and Nicole Brown.
Okay. That bitch.
Yeah. Morel said that night, according to Nabors, quote, I swear if it's a fucking man, I'm going to kill him. If it's a man, she ain't going to leave. Unquote. Go ahead.
Sorry, I just love that he said she.
Oh, I know. He mixed it. Well, he doesn't know. He has a feeling, but he doesn't know for sure. So it's just kind of like...
But if you have the instinct to call them a she, like, if it just happens, like, why don't you just, like, let it happen?
I mean, me, it's the total opposite. It's like, earlier when I mentioned Aiden, I'm like, yeah, he's almost at that age, and it still says it.
No, and I'm not, again, like... I feel like I can, I don't want to say I can see both sides, because I can never understand the bigotry that comes with wanting to murder someone for being who they are. But his anger, where it rooted from, I see. I do not understand. I do not understand his reaction, but I see where it happened. Mm-hmm. Because he was under the impression, was this the one that fooled around with her?
Mm-hmm. No. No. Just, wait. No.
So the guy he didn't even do anything with her. Mm-mm. Which one did?
Morel. Oh, Morel said it. Yes. Morel had
he was manipulated.
Anal sex with Morel.
He was manipulated into sleeping with something without his consent. Now that can be infuriating.
Wait, say that again?
He did not have consent to sleep with. He had consent to have the sex, but he did not have full knowledge. Gwen hid it from him.
We're going to get there.
Okay.
Okay, hold that thought. Okay. So she ain't going to leave, unquote. Then added, quote, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Fuck. We shouldn't drink unquote. Beer in podcast.
Unquote.
Wine next time.
I don't know. Okay. Blech. Quote, I don't know what I'm going to do. Whatever you do, don't make a mess, unquote. Brown said that the four men went into a club and didn't return to the house until after midnight. So
they were out there drinking and hyping each other up, probably.
Probably. Alcohol, it's never dudes. A good thing. Especially dudes. Okay. Early morning of October 5th, 2002, Magnuson asked Araujo to reveal her sex or allow him to touch her, but she refused. Brown suggested that they inspect Gwen. Magnuson took Gwen to the bathroom after a half an hour during which Morel confessed that he had sex with Gwen. Brown went to the bathroom and found out Gwen had male genitalia during a forced inspection. She was surprised and shouted, "It's a fucking man."
Wait, so Nicole Brown conducted a forced inspection?
Yes.
I'd call that sexual assault, but go on.
Yeah. The men Gwen had sexual relations with became enraged and violent. So, Brown testified that she warned Gwen that the men were very angry, quote unquote. When Gwen tried to leave, she was forced back inside by Magnuson, neighbors, and Cazares. Emmanuel tried to get her away, but was stopped. He tried to get her out the back of the house, tried to get her away.
He tried to help.
Yes, he did. Yeah. Jose Morel vomited when he found out about Gwen, then began to cry in disbelief. Quote, I can't be fucking gay. Unquote. Brown said to comfort Morel, quote, it's not your fault. I went to high school with you. You were on the football team. Any woman that knows you after this, it's not going to matter. Just let her go. Unquote. So, Brown was kind of an instigator and trying to help her at the same time. I think she was upset too, but then once she found out how angry everyone was, she knew
tried to defuse.
She knew it was going to get out of hand.
I feel like she might have been one of those girls that likes drama, but then realized that she created drama too big for her to handle, and then tried to pump the brakes, and yes. It didn't work, and somebody fucking died. So,
yeah,
I hope that she lives with that. Where is she now? We'll find out. Keep going.
I don't know where she is. I never went there.
Oh, I'll find out later then.
Oh yeah. We'll do a little intro next.
We'll play a beep, 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 beep. Where are they now? Nicole Brown.
Yeah.
That bitch.
Okay. So, after Gwen was brought back into the house, Magnuson grabbed her skirt and underwear, trying to expose her. Then he punched her in the face, knocking her to the ground, then put her in a chokehold, but was pulled off by the others. So.
No.
Magnuson is the main guy right now. I think he's the one that's more pissed about everything. It just, I don't know. This was making my stomach wrench as I was writing it out. Like, I can't imagine. Oh my God.
You went into the litigation of these guys though, right?
I did. Okay. Oh, definitely.
I want to know what happened to them.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Because all I remember is the motorcycles.
Motorcycles?
At her funeral? Weren't there a bunch of bikers there protecting?
No. I don't know. Hold on. We'll get there.
Hold on, I'm questioning my own reality.
Gwen begged him to stop, saying, "No, please don't. I have a family." Jose became angry and struck her in the head with a can of food, denting the can and creating a cut on her head. I know. It's getting dark. It gets worse. Oh. And he then smacked her again with a frying pan. I don't know why. There's all this shit around that they're just fucking hitting her with. Like,
how homophobic do you have to be?
Right?
How, against being gay do you have to be to murder another person who was simply hiding their shame? It shouldn't have been her shame.
Right.
If she were born 10 years later.
She just wanted to be a girl and do what girls do. And that's to have fun.
Courtney.
Too
soon after telling the fucking story.
I'm sorry.
And that's have fun. Cindy Lauper.
I'm trying to lighten the mood a little bit. Like, okay. This is really dark.
But it also gets a fucking frying pan?
Oh, I know.
What are you goddamn
imagining? I'm imagining a fucking cast iron skillet. I don't think that's what it is.
Probably a freaking Dollar Tree frying pan.
Yeah.
Broke ass homophobes can't afford cast iron skillets. Also would probably put it in the dishwasher like a couple of Neanderthals.
I don't even have a cast iron skillet. I don't trust myself taking
care of those. And you are a Neanderthal. You don't cook or clean.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. That's what I have a boyfriend for. You
make grunt noises to communicate, and you're hyper aware of your surroundings. Holy shit.
I know. I did that on purpose. Okay. The last words Jose Morel heard Gwen say were, quote, "I told you I was sorry," unquote. So fucking sad. Okay, and at this point, I'm sorry. I'm going to get fucking religious here. If God was so real, why didn't he fucking stop this? Why didn't he do anything about it?
I feel like to dive into the theology
of... I'm just saying.
Why doesn't God stop things like that from happening? While I am also not religious and I don't want to debate religion...
I don't want to debate it either. But come on.
I feel like Gwen now is happy and at peace. It is horrible that she went out the way that she did.
I know.
We don't know what she believed in. Do we?
We don't.
Okay. In my mind, she
is Hispanic, so nope, not gonna go there. That's stereotypical. I apologize. Not gonna go
there. Is it stereotypical when a high percentage of Hispanic culture is Catholic?
I don't even want to step in that pool with the society these days.
That's fair.
So we're just gonna bloop, stop that right there.
All right. That's fair. Well, regardless, there has to be an afterlife. She's at peace.
Yeah, I believe in the afterlife. Don't know where you're gonna go. But I mean, that was going through my mind as I was writing this out. Like,
I really hate those people that are like, everything happens for a reason, or God wanted her to come home. Like, fuck that. Why? She probably had so much fucking potential.
Yeah.
And she was a freaking...
She was going to friends... go through the surgery and the treatments to become physically a girl. And
even so, I know people who have had full transitional surgery who, if you walk up to them completely nude, and, oh yeah, woman. No, born not woman. Mm-hmm. But then, I don't want to say Republican. I want to say conservative people, religious people will go, no, man, chromosome relevant. Why does it matter to you?
Right. Like, it doesn't affect
Are you there life. When he or she sits down to pee? Mm-hmm. No, mind your business.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. Yeah.
I feel like this is an untested, like, statistic, to be fair, but I feel like a good 80% of violent homophobes are closet gays. I feel like if a guy were to get so mad that he were to inflict pain and, like, suffering on that other person just for being gay, you're probably gay. You probably are gay, or you've had gay tendencies or gay thoughts, and you're deeply ashamed of yourself.
Yeah.
And that's a personal problem. But they're a manifestation of their fears, so they take it out on them. And it's not a justification, but it's a slight modicum of an explanation.
Yeah.
Wow, my vocabulary is on point.
Okay, back to the horror. So at some point after that, after the fucking can of food and frying pan, Brown woke Paul and left the house with Emmanuel. So those three left the house.
In the middle of the beating?
In the middle of the beating. Well, Paul was asleep upstairs. Like, he didn't even know what was going on. But Nicole took him out. So neighbors and Cazares left in Magnuson's truck to retrieve shovels and a pickaxe.
Cazares, so what was the fatal blow? Was it the frying pan?
We'll get there. Hold on. Because that wasn't it. No, that wasn't, the frying pan was not it.
Why are they getting shovels already? Are they planning on killing her?
Yeah. Did you hear the quote? I'm going to kill that?
Yeah. Yeah, but, like, I didn't think it was that, like...
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Thought out. But, like, I've said, oh, my God, if this person's imposter in this game and they're lying, I'm going to kill them. I don't mean it. Okay, now I know.
Yeah.
Consider me educated. Hold on, let me get there. Move on.
Get a pickaxe from Kazar's house saying that the other men are going to, quote, kill that bitch. Unquote.
A fucking pickaxe?
They don't even use it. I don't know why.
Okay.
As far as I know, they don't use it. So Gwen was still conscious on neighbors and Kazar's when neighbors and Cazares returned. Jose became concerned about Gwen bleeding on the couch and ordered her off of it. Her beating continued after that. Magnuson hit Gwen's head against the wall with his knee, knocking her unconscious. Neighbors testified that the hit was so severe it left a dent in the wall and cracked the plaster.
Plaster is like stone, right? It's like hard. It's like, I get plaster and drywall mixed up. Sorry.
No. I don't think you're right.
But plaster is hard, right?
I took home improvement in high school, sophomore year. So. Yeah,
you were too busy being verbally harassed by Samuel Mayo.
I know. Okay.
Hold on. Don't hold on. Keep going. I'm going to see what, it's not relevant. I don't care.
Yeah, we'll get to it. Okay. After Gwen was unconscious, Magnuson bound her wrist and ankles, then wrapped her in a comforter to minimize the blood staining.
Premeditation. Yep. They're planning this out as they go.
Yeah. Okay, so after this, the testimonies go in different directions. Like, everyone fucking turns on each other.
Okay.
So neighbors testified that Magnuson strangled her with a rope and that Cazares hit her in the head with a shovel. But neighbors was returning from the garage and did not actually see the act of strangulation. He just assumed. So that was something that the fucking defense decided to go through.
Ugh.
Okay. All right. So Gwen used to go by Gwen, Wendy, or Lita.
Mm-hmm.
It just kind of depends. She used Lita with them. Neighbors testify that she saw Magnuson raise the rope to her neck before he left the garage, and that Magnuson later told the others that, quote, he wrapped the rope around Lita's neck and twisted it. Unquote. Like JonBenet.
Damn.
The fucking garage. Okay. According to neighbors, Magnuson Wasn't sure if Lita died. Wait, go ahead.
JonBenet wasn't strangled. Didn't she die by a head injury? That was
my story. It was multiple things, but she did have a rope around her neck with a garrote.
I think that that was planted after she was murdered, but that's another podcast.
But she had bruises on her neck from strangulation.
Well, you can be brain dead and not... Your heart could still be beating.
I mean, I'm not saying that's how she died. I'm just saying with a garrote like JonBenet. JonBenet had a garrote around her neck.
Fair. Go on.
I rest my case.
Lawyered.
Slam the files down.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Where was I?
He twisted the rope.
Yeah. Okay. According to neighbors, Magnuson wasn't sure if Lita died from twisting the rope, but once Jason hit her twice with a shovel, he knew she was dead. Unquote. She was then placed in the back of the pickup, and the four men drove her body 4 hours away, burying her near Sierra Nevada Mountains in a shallow grave in the El Dorado National Forest near Silver Fork Road in El Dorado County.
That poor sweet baby angel. She didn't deserve that.
Oh, I know. On their way home, they purchased breakfast at McDonald's.
Let me guess. They got McGriddles. Only murderers eat McGriddles. No, you know what?
They got biscuits because they are dark psychopaths that can handle that dry food in their fucking mouth.
I don't know, man. I feel like only psychopaths get McGriddles. Those things are fucking disgusting. Then
I'm a fucking psychopath.
I know.
I like McGriddles. I know. It's the biscuits that I cannot stand.
I rest my case.
Slam the files. Okay. Later, Nicole Brown called Joel to ask what happened, to which he replied, quote, "Let's just say she had a long walk home," unquote. She didn't walk anywhere.
Oh my God, I hope these guys are somebody's bitches in prison. Please tell me more.
Okay.
How long before they found her?
Hold on. Get there.
Is her mom worried? I'm sure her mom's worried.
None of the group reported the crime, obviously, and they said nothing about that night, obviously.
Are these high school kids or like early, like late teens, early 20s?
I wrote down their ages. Okay, Magnuson is 22. Neighbors is 19. Jose Morel is 22. And Paul Morel is 22. Oh, no. No age, I guess, I wrote. Paul doesn't have an age. Or Emmanuel. Okay.
That half answers my question.
Yeah. So, I mean, over 18.
Okay.
Try it as an adult, bottom line.
Good.
Okay, so Gwen usually checked in with her mom, so when she didn't come home, her mother called the police on October 5th to report her missing. Of course, the police didn't take the case seriously because she was transgender.
And they assumed she was a runaway, I bet?
A runaway, usually come home by the next morning. Listen, I support the police, but goddamn, they really need to step up their game. With that shit.
That's okay. And I don't want to turn this into a thing, but listen really quick. Just one statement. Defund the police does not mean take away the police. It means let's reallocate some money so that we can have mental health professionals go out into the field where cops are not trained. Mental health professionals are, and they can help more people that way. Cops handle like schizos and like people on mental breaks, like shit, like absolute shit. So like, to have reallocation of funds, defund the police, fund other branches of the police, let's fucking do it. I like police. Sometimes, honestly, cop let me go the other, like, last month, a couple months ago.
The other night?
Not the other night. No, it wasn't that recent. But I could have been taken straight to jail. But he let some things go and gave me a small speeding ticket. So, like, thank you, officer. Cops are cool sometimes.
Yeah. And I admit, there are some shitty cops. But there are some great cops. Papa was a cop. So I can't hate...
Was he?
Yeah, Bellevue Police.
For how long? Bellevue sucks, though. I'm sorry.
I have to disagree because I got pulled over in Bellevue. I really pulled myself over. And he just gave me a warning. I was going like 45 and a 25.
One time, a Bellevue police officer almost gave me a disturbing the peace ticket because when I accelerated at a green light, my tires spun out because there was sand on the road. I had no traction. He thought I was peeling out. I was right next to him in a freaking 98 Buick.
I don't know.
Who peels out in a 98 Buick?
I don't know. It depends on the car.
I've never had a good experience in Bellevue or Ralston. Moving on.
Moving on.
What'd the police do?
Moving on. Okay. So somehow rumors reached Gwen's family that Gwen was outed at a party and had been killed and buried in Tahoe.
Wait. Repeat that. I'm so sorry.
So rumors circulated and somehow got to Gwen's mom, stating that she got outed as a transgender and was killed and buried in Tahoe.
At a party.
At a party.
Rumors spread. So there was a moat. There was a leak.
Definitely.
Do we know who it was?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Tell me.
Okay.
Who's the snitch? I love this snitch.
2 days after Gwen was reported missing, a friend of Jaren, neighbors, said that he seemed distraught. Neighbors confessed. He's weak-willed. Neighbors confessed that what happened to said friend, who told the police, then agreed to wear a wire. Ooh, I spelled that wrong. To wear a wire during another conversation about it. After being confronted with a recording, neighbors agreed to lead authorities to the body on October 15th.
10 days.
10 days.
10 days, that poor baby angel in the desert.
Shallow grave.
Or the forest.
Something.
Fuck.
Yeah. State Park. The four men who were initially arrested were Magnuson, neighbors, Jose Morel, and Paul Morel. Paul was released.
They're brothers?
Jose and Paul are brothers.
Okay.
Paul is the older brother. And Manuel is the younger brother.
Okay.
So, three. Okay. Paul was released after Brown, and Emmanuel told the police he left with them. The other three were charged with murder on October 17th and held without bail.
Good.
October 24th, neighbors pled not guilty. Magnuson was still looking for an attorney, and Jose Morel was still reviewing evidence against him. After being arrested, neighbors wrote a letter to a girlfriend where he stated the defendants had discussed a soprano type plan to kill the bitch and get rid of the body.
Soprano type?
Mm-hmm. Gangsta shit.
No. Gangster.
Gangster shit.
Second of all, the Sopranos were not transphobic.
No, but they were saying...
Style. I get it. Yeah. I'm just saying.
All right.
Inconsistent.
Okay, I'm just saying too. Okay.
I'm sorry. My inner cinephile came out. Okay. Go on.
The letter was intercepted by sheriff's officials and led to the arrest of Cazares.
Ha!
Under the trials. Okay. First off. We're going to go with Jaren Neighbors. Jaren pleaded guilty on February 24th, 2003, Gwen's birthday, to a lesser charge of voluntary manslaughter.
What?
Yep. Which had an 11-year sentence along with a promise he would testify against the other three. 11 years.
With a testif...
Yep. During... the February 2003 indictment proceedings, neighbors gave a detailed account of the murder and burial. Neighbors received an 11-year sentence on October 25th, 2006, with time served credited. So from that moment on, he spent about 5 years in prison.
For actively killing a person?
He wasn't that active in the murder. He was just an accomplice. He didn't actually commit the murder.
Okay.
He was just there.
Okay.
So I'm...
It's still stupid, but okay.
Yeah, it is. Okay.
Everybody, let's say hi to Dad.
So on to Magnuson, Morel, and Cazares, their first trial.
Okay.
Before the first trial, the prosecuting attorney... Chris Lamario, Lamario, I don't know.
Spell it.
Lamiero.
Lamiero. I don't know.
Lamiero. I'm going to go with Lamiero.
Okay.
Argue that being transgender should not be a death sentence. Quote, one can debate the propriety of one choosing to identify with a gender other than the one they are born with. But I trust juries to understand that people don't get to make life or death decisions simply based on someone's lifestyle. That's not a world in which I want to live or most people want to live in. End quote.
I like this man.
I do too. The first trial began on April 14th, 2004. Prosecuting attorney Lamiero used male pronouns and used her birth name to refer to Araujo, saying the defendants had decided, quote, the wages of Eddie Araujo's sin of deception were death, unquote. Okay.
Wait.
I know. That kind of confuses me because...
His sin?
No. The wages of Eddie Araujo's sin of deception were death. So, like...
The wages of his sin were death. So, because
he didn't say anything, he was killed for it. That's not a bad sentence. He's saying the result of him not saying it, okay. Or her not saying anything.
I see.
She got killed for it.
I see. I thought that this was the defendant attorney.
Right.
Justifying.
Right. And I was confused when I put prosecuting because he was on her side.
Right. Okay.
So,
again, I poor myself. Litigation knowledge. I'm so sorry. Hi, I'm dumb. If you go back in this episode, you can hear us be really bad at math.
Yeah. It took me a while to learn about, like, the prosecuting and the defending and all that shit.
Okay.
So... In the opening statement, the defense, the shitty people, from Magnuson, argued that he should not be charged with murder rather than manslaughter at worst under California law. How? That shit was not manslaughter.
Can you say it again for me?
In the opening statement of the defense attorney for Magnuson, argued that he should not be charged with murder... Rather, manslaughter at worst under California law.
But he purchased things.
No, he did not. They already had it. They just went to go pick it up.
Oh.
Yeah. Not that kind of pickup.
Okay.
The other kind of pickup. Okay. I don't know how defense attorneys fucking live with themselves. Unless they actually didn't commit the murder. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's shitty.
I wouldn't want to be a defense attorney because I'd be like, oh shit, you did it.
How am I going to argue that you didn't?
I quit. Like, I quit.
Like, I can't represent you. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. Magnuson's attorney said that his client was not biased, but had been shocked beyond reason, quote unquote, to learn he unwittingly had sex with a quote man, unquote, a variant of gay panic defense.
There's a gay panic defense?
Yes. Yes, there is.
Holy fuck.
All right. During his testimony, neighbors felt his friends had been raped. Since Araujo, referred to as male, did not come clean with being what he really was. I feel like he forced them into homosexual sex, and my definition of rape is being forced into sex. When asked how she forced him, quote, through deception, unquote.
That's sort of what I said, because, like I said, I can see the anger, but I do not understand the reaction. I didn't know. If I had known you were a transgender person, I would not have slept with you. But you misinformed me, so I'm mad.
But
I side, I don't have to murder you, because that's right. Not a normal reaction.
Exactly. But on her side, she's not male.
She's not. But in their brains... And their tiny little pea brains.
It's shitty on both sides.
No, it's more shitty on one side.
Obviously, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
You know what I mean.
I just, but like, it's hard to say, oh yeah, I see where he's coming from. But like, I can't say that because I don't.
Right, I don't see where he's coming from to the murder standpoint.
Like, if he had known I think he probably would have still been violent against her.
I think if they never encountered sex, murder wouldn't have happened. They probably would have just maybe A, hung out with her still, or B,
doubt it.
Like, hey, we can't hang out with you. You're going to have to go. You know what I mean?
Hmm.
I don't know. These people suck. Especially Magnuson. Hate this guy.
Yeah, he's a fuck.
Oh.
We have a question from Dad.
Yeah. What's up, Dad?
Okay, so was she in her head, but a boy down south?
Mm-hmm.
Genetically, yes. Gwen Araujo was an XY chromosome. Right? XY is male. Born male, yes, but internally she felt like a woman. She was a woman as far as what she wanted to be represented as.
Mm-hmm.
Her genitalia was none of anybody's business.
Until she had
slept with someone
without
disclosing that information.
Yeah, and then he was like, what's this?
No, see, but they didn't find out in that moment. They found out later on where another girl, friend of theirs, basically did a forced inspection in the bathroom and looked at her and confirmed
and
that Gwen had.
And then got the whole house pissed.
And then they all attacked her.
Yes.
So, murder.
Yes.
End of sentence.
Yes.
It could be heat of the passion.
No.
Oh, I'm going to get there. I'm going to get there. So hold that thought. Okay.
Oh my God. Can we have a dad segment in this show?
Right? Okay. So the first trial ended in a mistrial on June 22nd, following 9 days of deliberation. The jurors were unable to reach a unanimous decision for the three men. While the jury agreed that Araujo was murdered, just not if it was premeditated. Final votes were 10-2 in favor of acquitting Morel and Cazares of first-degree murder, 7-5 in favor for convicting Magnuson of first-degree murder. So, oh. I want to be a juror on a murder trial. It's one of my dreams. I want to do it.
So, another dad view.
Sure.
So, say this girl...
Gwen...
went down on this guy,
mm-hmm.
and then he found out the mm-hmm. next day. So it's kind of a heat of passion type thing.
Right.
But if there was enough time in between this,
right,
where now it becomes premeditated, now it becomes mm-hmm. first degree murder, okay.
There was even a point where one of the guys that did the attacking said, if I find out that they are a guy, she is dead. She is not leaving.
Mm-hmm.
That alone... should be premeditation, if you ask me.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, it sounds like first-degree murder.
And my dad, just for the record, was a correctional officer for 12 years?
Nine
years? Still a long time, so he would know.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like
premeditated.
Premeditated.
How much time in between that incident and her...
And the sex?
Yeah. The sex and the death.
The sex and the death.
They had sex late August, early September, and she was killed October 5th.
Yep. Yeah. After just hanging out with them.
Yeah.
Yep. Premeditated.
Premeditated first-degree murder.
So the second trial began on May 31st, 2005. The day after the first trial ended in a mistrial, a court granted Araujo's mother's petition for a name change, requiring the defense attorneys to refer to Gwen as she in female pronouns.
Fuck yes.
Yes, I was so happy about
go
that.
Go mom.
Yes. So, Magnuson, Morel, and Cazares were charged with first-degree murder with hate crime enhancements. During closing statements, Cazares' defense lawyer, Tony Serra, I'm going to point that out. That's Serra, defense attorney in California, argued that the three defendants were, quote, ordinary human beings, unquote, who were guilty of manslaughter at most in blank classic state of heat and passion, unquote. No.
That would be a defender's, that's what he's working for.
Right.
But it's not true.
But the prosecutor's trying to go with first degree murder. Mm-hmm. So what they're going to do is they're going to compromise and give these guys maybe second degree.
We'll get there. Yeah.
We're on that road.
Yep. So to avoid a second mistrial, prosecuting attorney Lamario.
It rolls off your tongue now. You question
yourself.
I feel like
I'm saying it different every time.
Nope. Lamario. You say it every time.
Lamario argued for first degree murder, but gave jurors the option for second degree murder conviction for the three and even manslaughter for Morell. He asked to return first degree murder convictions of Magnuson and Curzarez, fingering Magnuson as the main culprit. Why are you laughing?
I really hate when people say fingering.
I know. Dad's sitting here. Calm down.
I'm sorry. It's true.
God damn. All right. Where was I? Okay. Magnuson as the main culprit who had strangled Araujo and calling him, quote, a poor excuse of a man, unquote, with a stupid and moronic list of excuses for killing her. Go, Lamero. Go.
You did say it different that time.
Did I? Lamero.
You said Lamero, but I think it's Lamario.
Lamario. Sorry. Okay. September 12th. A week after deliberations, the jury announced its verdict, but it had deadlocked on Cazares voting 9-3 in favor of convicting him for murder. Magnuson and Morell were each charged of second-degree murder, but not hate crime enhancements. They didn't get that. Lamario undermined criminal intent by commenting, quote, Gwen being transgender was not a provocative act. It's who she was. However, I would not ignore the reality that Gwen made some decisions in her relation with these defendants that were impossible to defend. I don't think most jurors are going to think it's okay to engage someone in sexual activity knowing they assume you have one sexual anatomy when you don't. So it's kind of what we were saying. He gets that one side.
Yeah, it's a perspective that you can comprehend.
Right.
And that's it, full stop, end sentence.
Right. So Michael Magnuson and Jose Morell were sentenced in January to 15 to life in prison for second degree murder. So they got second degree. Morell showed deep regret and deep sorrow. Magnuson was angry about his verdict and showed no remorse for his role in the murder.
Oh, I hope he's somebody's
Fuck
bitch.
Fuck Magnuson.
I hope he's somebody's bitch in prison.
Oh, I hate him. Okay. Jason Cazares. To avoid a third trial, Cazares pled no contest to manslaughter on December 16th, 2005, and was sentenced to 6 years in prison with credit for time served. Cazares asked to begin serving his sentence until after the birth to his third child, which was granted. So he didn't get to go to prison. He didn't get to finish his sentence until after his daughter was born.
Good for you. I hope he got cuffed and walked out of that hospital.
Right. Lamario noted blank, quote.
Blank. Wait, what did he say? Nothing. He said blank.
Lamario noted, quote, it's difficult for me to entertain a request like that when Gwen Araujo is dead, unquote. Gwen Araujo was... So that's all the trials and stuff. So now we're going to get to the good stuff. Gwen Araujo was mourned in a public funeral at St. Edward's Catholic Church in Newark, October 25th, 2002.
Catholic.
Ah, yeah. Okay. Fred Phelps and the member of the Westboro Baptist Church.
Those motherfuckers. Let's burn it down.
Ugh. I hate them. I put fuckers right after that. and the members of the Westboro Baptist Church were going to picket the funeral.
But then the motorcyclists stopped them.
It didn't say anything about that. It just said, but thankfully they did not.
I feel like... Keep going. I'm going to do something okay. Real quick.
Gwen was cremated and her mother has her ashes. On the first anniversary of the murder, Horizons Foundation created the Gwen Araujo Memorial Fund for Transgender Education. The fund's purpose is to support school-based programs in the county, Bay Area, to promote understanding of transgender people and issues through annual events.
Okay.
Grants. I'm sorry, not events. And there was a Lifetime movie, A Girl Like Me, A Gwen Araujo Story. Mm-hmm. And there's actually a show on ID called Deadly ID. And they covered that. I couldn't find it on the ID app, unfortunately. I wanted to watch it. But
Pepper sit.
So in September of 2016, California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger signed Gwen Araujo Justice for Victims Act into law. The law limited the use by criminal defendants of the, quote, gay trans panic defense, unquote, by allowing parties to instruct jurors not to let bias influence their decision, including bias against the victim based on his or her gender identity or orientation.
I love Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Go, Arnold.
Arnie is just a sweet, sweet man. Did you see that video of him getting kicked by a stranger?
No.
This man ran up and, like, straight up 2 feet in the air, kicked this man in the back, and he was in the middle of doing a live, and there's a video of it, of him going, oh, God, what was that? Like, it was a little bug that just hit him in the shoulder.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't attack that guy.
Double foot kicks the Terminator. Right. Who the fuck do you think you are?
So September 2014, California Governor Jerry Brown signed Assembly Bill number 2501 into law. The law further restricted the use of gay trans defense by amending California's manslaughter statute to prohibit defendants from claiming that they were provoked to murder by discovering a victim's sexual orientation or gender identity.
Good on him. What's his name?
Jerry Brown.
Mr. Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Another good man.
Okay. So, lastly, parole and release. Jose Morell was granted parole in 2016 with the support of Sylvia Guerrero, which is Gwen's mom. So she supported his parole.
Why?
I don't know.
Maybe.
It didn't say.
Maybe. Is this the one that apologized? That was like.
He's the one that did show regret.
Okay.
He was upset.
And that's really big of her.
Yeah.
As a person.
She actually used to work in the city hall or something. Like something in a law area.
Yeah.
But now she's homeless and living.
Now?
Yeah. Now. Because she's doing all these fundings and trying to.
Aww.
Yeah. Oh my God. I know. So Michael Magnuson said that he was not ready for release at his parole board hearing in 2016, and his request for parole was also opposed by Sylvia. Magnuson was denied parole again in 2019, September 2019. Jason Cazares was released from prison in July 2012, and Jaron Neighbors was released sometime before 2016. It didn't say when.
So these guys are just walking the streets?
Three of them are, yes.
Living at home with their families while Gwen's mom's homeless.
Yeah. And that was the brutal murder of Gwen Araujo.
That is really fucking sad.
Yeah. It was really sad writing that. And yeah. Sucks.
I didn't know that about our mom. That's really sad.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Okay. So, yeah, that was the...
All right.
Yeah. We'll post that on the Instagram, and along with your story of the Slender Man murders.
Yep.
Or attempted murder. But...
I think it was the... Oh, it wasn't. She's right there. It's not the dog. Not the dog.
Yeah, so... rate.
Pepper.
Subscribe.
Yes, please. And if you have any fun suggestions or not so fun suggestions,
yeah.
Our email is still behindtheshadowspodcast@gmail.com. Subject to change with the name change. Again, we're just spitballing. If you have any name ideas, send them to the email.
Yes.
BehindTheShadows@gmail.com.
Or contact us on the Instagram or the Facebook page.
Or on Facebook, yeah. Yeah, y'all got me on Facebook.
Yeah. So, yeah. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
We appreciate you. And
thank you for being so patient during our hiatus. We're back and ready to rock.
Yes. For real this time. We promise.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bye.